Welcome to Impact again. My name is Pastor Jeff, or you can just call me Jeff. Just call me. So we're really glad you're here today. If you're visiting with us, we're welcome. We want to welcome you and say we're glad you're here. And if you're a regular here, we are so glad you're regular here. We are going to dismiss our kids at this time. So guys, see you later. Want to open up your Bibles while they're doing that, Isaiah 6, and if you want to do that, whatever version you got, you can do that on your phone or your tablet or your whatever you got. It's been a really good week here around our church. I just started with service last week. You know, when you come to church and you just know that you know that God is real and He's alive and you see God working in His people, it just encourages you. And last Sunday was one of those days, and it was really neat. It kind of started my week really well, and then we had such a good service, and seeing Myrna get immersed last week, that was cool. And then Tuesday we took our 55 group plus group to a place in Oldenburg and had a great meal, and then we went to Metamore. Just a really good day. And then yesterday we opened up the camp and got all ready for this summer for a church camp and all the men's retreats and different things that we're going to be doing there. And it was just a good week, and just good to see. We were sitting on our porch last night with the kids. Our grandkids are here. And Brenda has this bush in the back. Is any of my kids in here? They're all in the back, aren't they? I think it's called a begonia bush. Anyway, it just, while we were sitting there, it just opened up, and it was so cool. All the different little blossoms just opened up, and it was just another reminder how cool God is, and to see Him even in flowers, and He's in the minute details of every day. Let's pray, and we'll get right into it. Jesus, we thank You for who You are. We thank You for Your Father who sent You to this earth to die for us. We're thankful for the sacrifice, but most of all, we're thankful for just who You are, for your what we talked about last week, your justice, for Your mercy, and for Your grace. And today, we want to get a glimpse of You when we talk about Your holiness. And what does that mean, and what in the world do You want us to do because You're holy? We just pray that You'll open our hearts just a little bit, and that You'll move in a good way, a profound way, in each of our lives this day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'm going to share with you today what I believe is the least popular attribute of who God is. Most people are familiar, we're going to talk about this next week, about His love. We're going to talk about that on Mom's Day, but I'm going to just call it Women in General Day. We're just going to celebrate women and moms and everything to do with that. But that's a popular part of who God is, because everybody remembers that God's love, God's love, God's love. Everybody's got that part. Now, last week we talked about justice and mercy and grace, and we understand that a little bit, and that's pretty okay. But when you talk about holy, it's just a whole different concept. It's mentioned 637 times in the Bible, in the Scriptures. 637 times the word holy is given to us. And I want to help you prepare your heart a little bit today, because when you experience this attribute of God, I believe it can shake you. I believe it can stir you. I believe that God, when you understand that He's holy, it brings a whole different level of understanding of who God is. We're going to start today in the book of Isaiah, and I want to give you a little bit of background about what we're going to visually look at today and what we're going to visually talk about. And I believe it's a very powerful text. The context was of this verse in Isaiah 6, the sixth chapter, was Isaiah. It says this. It opens up by saying that the king Uzziah has died. And that, to all of us, that's no big deal, but back then, that was a huge deal. What does that mean, that King Uzziah had died? It means that this man who was loved, who had been there at probably about 52 years, he'd reigned as king. He was a stable king. Everybody liked him. They wanted to be under this king because he was a good king. and he died. And so the people are very uncertain. It's kind of like a shift in politics, whatever your side is. And if your side gets in, you're very excited. And if your side isn't in, you're downcast. This is what's going on. All the people, the Bible at this time says, were unsettled. They had a bad feeling in their stomachs and in their hearts and in their soul, because they were unsure of what was going to happen after King Uzziah had died, who'd been in reigning for 52 years in a really good manner. And so when he died, as you can imagine, everybody felt a little bit shaky, a little bit unstable. What's going to happen to us? What's going to go on? What are we going to do now that Uzziah is done? And so this was kind of an end of an era. And so this was the season when the people felt very, very anxious. This was a season that they felt like people kind of feel like now, in the sense of, I just don't know what's going on with our world. Our world seems so rocking. It just seems so uneasy. It seems unstable. It seems volatile. Like we're waiting for the next big bad thing to happen. You know, we've been through COVID, and now we had this war, and we do. It's just like, what's next? And so it's in us. It's in us and who we are. I want to show you a video, if you can get that ready to go, Charlie. Just if you can just hold on for just a second, but get it ready to go. It's an old video, and it is an old concept drawing or a video of this passage that we're going to reread and go over in just a minute. I say that because I don't want you to be scared of this, because it seems boring. And you say, if this is heaven, I don't know. But I want you to see it, because I want you to see the incredible thought that went into this to describe this passage where Isaiah is actually having this vision of being in heaven, and he's confronted with, here's who God is, and here's what goes on. Let's shut the lights.
King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, with two he flew. One called to another and said,
Holy, holy, holy is Yahweh of armies. The whole earth is full of his glory.
The foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, Yahweh of armies. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. He touched my mouth with it and said,
Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin forgiven.
I heard the Lord's voice saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here I am, send me.
six wings. Read that passage a bunch of times, and when I first saw this, it kind of put me back a little bit. Six wings, because you think of seraphim, you think of these angels, just angels. Those are bad-looking angels. Two that would fly, two that would cover their faces because they couldn't look at God, and two that they would stand on. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Holy, 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 which means that's who he is. In the Old Testament times, the early writers would often say things for multiple times for emphasis. You never hear God is mercy, mercy, mercy. You never hear God is love, love, love. You never hear God is justice, justice, justice. But time in and time out, you hear that God is holy, holy, holy. Times three, times three. God is holy, holy, holy. And interestingly enough, this is the only attribute of God throughout all Scripture that means, has such an incredible meaning to those of us that are here. You see, God is almighty. God is everything. In our culture today, that the word holiness, it kind of gets thrown around kind of flippantly. You might, if you grew up in a church, you would think of, when you heard of the word holy, you might think of Holy Communion. People used to call that Holy Communion. We don't do that anymore so much, but that's what they called it. You might have heard, if you grew up in the church world, you might think of holy matrimony. That was marriage. Or you might think of the Holy Ghost. You might have heard of that. Or if you are a Monty Python fan, you might have heard of the Holy Grail. Okay, you've heard of those at some point or another. Or we use words today like holy cow or holy smoke or even holy hell, people use it. I don't understand that because that's complete opposite, but people still do it. I don't understand that, but they do it. Or they call Christians what? Holy rollers. Holy rollers. Now that's not so much anymore because now they just call Christians fake. They call Christians two-faced, hypocrites, a lot of other things. What exactly does holy mean when we're talking about God? When we're talking about trying to get a glimpse of God, trying to look at who God is, what exactly does holy mean when we're talking about God? What's that mean? It means set apart. It means that we are set apart from what? Well, we'll talk about that. It means a cut above. It means separate. Separate. God is separate. What's he separate from? God, here's the answer. Everything. He's separate. He's cut apart. He's immovable from everything that there is in existence. Everything that's ever been created. Everything that ever will come about. God is separate from that. He is above that. He is separated from that. If you look at Exodus 15:11, I think it'll come up on the screen. Here's a question. And he asked this question about God. He says, who among the gods is like you? Who is majestic in their holiness? What is God? He is completely and thoroughly and fully and entirely holy. That's who he is. Pure, righteous, perfect, without fault, without blemish. He is indefinite. He is immutable. He is immeasurable. He is incomprehensible. There is none like God. And yet we treat him like he's some everyday, guy up on the shelf that I occasionally want to talk to. Not that guy in that room where there's these seraphims that can't even look at him. And we have the audacity to say, sweet daddy, baby Jesus, or, hey, God, let me throw up a thing here. I'm in trouble here. I need to throw you a bone today. I want you to get me out of it. What in the world is wrong with us? What in the world is wrong with the church? Here's what you need to understand, and I want you to follow this because I'm going to get to some things that aren't just all this, but you've got to understand this before you can take this home. Okay, let's unpack it a little bit. God has wisdom that he didn't need to learn. I want you to think about that. He didn't have to learn it. God has strength that he didn't need to work out to get. God has love that he didn't have to receive in order to know how to give it. God is who he is, and God is the God who is and was and always will be. I freak out every time I say that. I don't understand it. How in the world could he always be? I never understand that. I've done that for 40 years. I get this weird feeling that just comes over me every time I even say that. How in the world could he always be? I don't get it. Because I've only been for, 63 years. How has he always been before time? What was he doing before time? He was doing this. He was set apart. He was perfect. He was everything. He was everywhere. He was all. He was all those things that I just said. And Isaiah says, the year that King Uzziah died, everybody was unsettled. The prophet of God saw this vision of the Most High Lord lifted up. These beings were worshiping him. Holy, 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 Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. And the presence of God, where he's set apart, Isaiah cried out, get me out of here. He said, woe is me. I'm ruined. Another version says, I'm undone. Why did he say that? Because he's in the presence of God. And I recognize the first thing he said was, he's a prophet, remember. And what's his moneymaker? Right here. His lips. I'm a man of unclean lips. Everything that's come out of my mouth is trash. Everything. I'm unclean. I'm not even fit to be here. I'm a man of unclean lips. And he indicts all of us. I serve a people with unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. What happened next? Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he'd taken from the tongue of the altar. And with it, he touched my mouth and he said, see, this has touched your lips and your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. It is paid for. It is done. And I want you to notice what Isaiah did in the presence of this Almighty God. Notice what he did and notice what he didn't do. He didn't worship. We'd all think, oh, if I see God, I'm just going to fall down on my knees. We sing every song about it. When I worship and I see God, what's the first thing? I'm going to fall down. No, that's not the first thing he did. He recognized with everything in him, he wasn't worth anything. He recognized his need for something or someone to make him like the one he was in the presence of. His presence, God's, here's what I got to get you to follow me on. God's presence convicted him. It wasn't his words. It wasn't anything he said. His presence convicted him to the point where he said, this prophet who was the prophet of God, who was bringing the thus saith the Lord, here's what God says to the people day after day, day after day, day after day. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and so are you people too. We're all unclean. Skip to the Billy Graham quote, if you would, for me, Charlie. Look what Billy Graham said. Billy Graham said this, it's only when we understand the holiness of God that we will understand the depth of our sin. And there's the point I want to make to you today, church. We have got to understand the holiness of God, but we also have to understand the depth of our sin. It is great. It is every one of us. None of us, anything in us smells very good. It's kind of rotten. Everything in us is rotten without God. Woe to me, I'm unclean. He confessed his sinfulness. He said, woe, I'm a man of unclean lips. And I don't even, he didn't say, I don't want to be here. He said, look at me. Here's some insight about this passage, and then we'll get into us. Because I know you came for you today. I understand. I hope you came for God, but some of you came to see what can God do for me. So let's talk about that. Some self-righteous Christians walk around pointing out everybody else's sin while they've got a log in their own eye. We walk around and we're good at pointing out what sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so and my nephew and my cousin, and we forget about unclean old boy right here. We forget about us. Isaiah didn't even negotiate with God. He didn't say, God, hey, if you give me this one do-over thing right now, I promise I'll never do it again. He didn't try to do that. He didn't beg for forgiveness. Notice this, God haters, not in this room, but there's some God haters, people that don't love God because God's just out to get us. Notice what God did. God didn't come after him. God initiated the forgiveness. God sent a seraphim right next to him with a burning coal that touches Isaiah's lips. God sent the seraph there, and the scripture says that. And forgiveness is coming because of what God did, not because of what I did. See, we get all bent out of shape that we finally say one day, I'm going to give God my life, and I get baptized, and I say I'm going to live for Jesus, and I go to church two or three times, and everything's good. And when it's really, that's not about it at all, because we're going to see what happens once Isaiah understands that he's got unclean lips and God brings the forgiveness and gives it to him. What does it do to old brother Isaiah? God then says to him, Isaiah, your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. You see, God is so big and so good that he initiates the atonement. God brings the salvation. It's not us. It's not what we do. Romans 5:8, a very famous verse that you most of you could probably quote, says this, that while we were still sinners, lost in our sin, lost in our lying, lost in our lust, lost in our deception, we were still sinners. Christ died for us on a cross. He came to us. He pursued me. Boy, that better make somebody a little bit more excited than you are right now. More excited than some of you walked in here today, you bunch of sad sacks. Yeah, I guess I'll go to church today. Ain't nothing better else to do. Do something later, maybe. Who is God? He is set apart. He's cut above. I watched a YouTube video this last week by a lady named Jackie Hill Perry. Is Tori here? Tori's not here today. I think Tori went to Passion. Didn't she go to Passion this year? Passion 22, she was a speaker. If you want to watch a cool video about holiness, watch this one. And I think I've got her video up, or not her video. I wish I could put her, because I'd just sit down and shut up. It was such an incredible talk about holiness. But here's a quote that she says, and this is the rest of my lesson today. It says this, just follow along. If God is holy, then he can't sin. If God can't sin, then he can't sin against you. And if he can't sin against you, you should make him the most trustworthy being that there is. We have to make him so trustworthy. And that's where the rubber meets the road this morning. Today's take home is this. I want you to understand that God is holy. And if he's holy, you can trust him. You can trust him. Fully, completely, holy. He will not sin against you. He has your best interest in every iota of every day, every second, every minute. He has your best interest. You can cast your cares upon him because he always, always, always cares for you, no matter what you're going through. No matter what you're going through. There's nothing you can do. Nothing you can do that's going to make him love you more. There's nothing you can do that will make him love you less. Because he's holy, holy, holy. He never sins, church. He never sins. Isaiah sees a vision. Sees his vision. The Lord's high and lifted up. He's aware of his own sinfulness. He cries out to God. And then Scripture says this, these words. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, the prophet says, here's our part. Here's our part. Here's where it hits. Here's where it comes. You can trust him. Here's our part. Here's where this makes sense. If you came for something today, take this. Take this. Isaiah sees this vision, and then God says, whom shall I send? I don't know if he talks like that, but in this video he did. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Notice how the prophet responded. Here I am. Send me. Here I am. Send me. There should be our response. There should be our response. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. Whatever it is you want me to do, I'll do it. Whew. Those are strong words. You name the place, you name the time, give me the assignment, whatever it is. My answer is always, maybe. If I feel like it. Well, I ain't feeling that. Pastor's been off a little lately. Now the answer is always, yes. Yes. Try that with me one time. Are you ready to go? Just like that. That was perfect, Bob. Only Bob followed me. Here we go. One, two, three. Yes, yes. Good job. I heard you, Bob. I listened. I didn't hear anything from Yancey over here. I'm pretty upset. You want me to serve? I'll serve. You want me to worship? I'll worship. But I don't want to do it in front of people. I don't want to sing in front of people because my voice sucks. Doesn't matter. Are you doing it for people or are you doing it for God? Stand here for a second. I don't know. I don't know what to say. Yes, he is. See, this isn't I'm going to join a church. This isn't I'm going to become more religious. This is my only response is yes. Yes. Talk to some people who've gone through some trauma here in this room last couple of months. And ask them the only thing that's got them through. I'm not going to call them out because I know who they are. There's several of you. The only thing that gets you through is what? It's Jesus. The only thing. There ain't no man. There ain't no woman. There ain't no bank account. There ain't no job. There ain't no fill-in. There ain't no vacation. There ain't nothing that's going to take the place of Jesus. You'll try it. And we'll try stuffing it down in that hole and seeing if it fits, but it don't. It doesn't. You want me to serve? I'll serve. You want me to forgive? I'll forgive. Oh, you don't know what my ex did to me. You don't know what you hear what? No. Don't matter. The only response is yes. Lord, send me. Here I am. Here I am. Let's go. So here's the question. I always give you a question. I promise you a question every week. Here it is. When's the last time you've been stunned by the holiness of God who is so set apart? When's the last time you were so stunned by God and his holiness? Don't know. Are you waiting for heaven? Are you waiting to die like Bill Gill did yesterday, or the other day, Friday? A good friend of a church just had a massive heart attack. That guy was so cool. Such an awesome guy. Everywhere he was, he just was, praise God, praise God. Now I know he had troubles everywhere he went. And his family had a hard time there at last and everything. But Bill, man, loved Jesus. And today, he ain't got no problems. He ain't got none. He's had a lifetime of problems the last 10, 15 years with his health. And today, he's sitting there, the train of God, worshiping Jesus, doing what Bill Gale's going to do in heaven. What he did here on this earth, went around and showed people how great Jesus was. I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything, wherever you want me to go. You see, the reason I bring this up about Isaiah and about Bill Gale and about anybody else who understands this life as a Christian, there's three responses that Christians alike have in this room and those online. The first response to this is, there's some will say, okay, here I am, God. There's some here who say, I'll wait. I don't know what for, but I'll wait. I'll wait till then I'll get serious. I'll wait till we have kids, and then I'll get serious. I'll quit partying. I'll wait till we do this. And then there's this response. I'll let somebody else do it. And it's a hard pass no. Hard pass no. Send me. Nope, I ain't going. I don't even believe in you. Hard pass no. God is so amazing, church. How can anybody say no to him? Because we get so caught up in the crap of the world that it just, our jobs take it out of us, our kids, their sports, our livelihoods, our pastimes, they all just suck us dry. What was Isaiah's response? Please, Lord, send me. Please, Lord, send me. See, he saw a man who was a prophet, and he recognized his own sinfulness. Now, here's the cool part, and we're just about done, I promise. Isaiah 7, if you can pull that up, Charlie. One chapter later, I want to read this, and then I want to show you something really cool. One chapter later, the prophet with the unclean lips declares this. God responds to Isaiah. Here it is. Therefore, the Lord said to himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. 700 years before Jesus was even here, Isaiah said that. I don't know if the Bible's true. I don't believe it. Most of the Bible must be fake. 700 years it got passed down. 700 years, Isaiah said, through God, the Messiah is coming. He's coming between Isaiah 7 and Jesus showing up in that little town of Bethlehem. 700 years. This is the vine. This is the shepherd. This is the Lamb of God. This is the door through which everyone can now enter. This is the one who laid down their life so that we could be in the family. Get this, church. This is God, the holy, 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 the Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. That's Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for a Savior who didn't come for the righteous. I'm thankful for a Savior who didn't come for the perfect or the neat, but he came for those who had great need. And I want to tell you, I'm one of the biggest. I need him every day. And so do you. There's some people today that are leaving Christianity left and right. Left and right. There's some people leaving the church because the church is filled with a bunch of stupid, sinful hypocrites. I get it. I get it. Say one thing, do another. It's been the church since it was first put into it. Because we're imperfect people, we needed a Savior. That's what the world doesn't get yet. There is no perfect church. There is no perfect place on this earth. But the church is the best thing there is. It is the best thing that there is. Because Jesus died for it. And it means so much. And those people that are leaving Christianity, I understand why they're doing it. But let me tell you why I have to stay. Let me tell you why you need to stay, and you need to be like Isaiah and say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." Don't send somebody else. Don't wait for somebody else. Send me. Send me. Here's the reason I stay, because I got nowhere else to go. I don't know where I can be loved like this, because there's no one like him. There's no one like our God. He's initiated while I was still sinning. He loved me. He pursued me, and he's pursuing you today. He wants to come after some of you. He's coming after some of you, and you felt it recently, and you felt this tinge in your heart. You felt this tinge in your spirit and your soul, and you maybe just get a little pushed off by it and say, "Well, that's dumb. I don't know. I don't want to go there." But I want you to understand God is coming after you in a kind and loving way. And he wants to take those coals of his son Jesus, and he wants to tell you that you're all better, that you're not that way anymore, that there's no need for you to hold on to unforgiveness. There's no need for you to hold on to bitterness. There's no need for you to be an angry little elf like so many of you are. You're mad. You're mad at the world. And Jesus is saying, "Here I am. Give it to me. Give it to me." Let's close with Psalm 35, and then I'll talk a little, just a second. Psalm 35 says this, this is David, by the way, "With every bone in my body, I will praise him. Lord, who can compare with you? Who else rescues the helpless from the strong? Who else protects the helpless and poor from those that rob him? Who else? Who can compare with you? Who rescues those people that need rescuing? Who else will never leave you, will never forsake you? Who else is always for you, never against you?" He's always been holy, church. Our only reasonable response is this: anything, anytime, anywhere, here I am, Lord, send me. Let's pray as the band comes. Father, we thank you that even as we close right now in this holy moment, that you're doing a work in somebody's life, in this room, somebody online, just like you did in the life of the prophet Isaiah. God, we're aware, and we thank you. We're thankful that you initiate forgiveness. We're thankful that you help us to confess our sins, that you cleanse us, that you forgive us. God, make us more like your son, Jesus. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. But today, we are so thankful that you're holy. So God, do a work these next minutes in us.